The Book of Daniel, Number 145. Interpretation of Biblical Prophecy and Current Events, A Perspective on Modern Politics and Religious Symbolism.
The religion of wokeism, Sodom, and the politics of communism, Egypt, rose up when the richest president announced his intent to run for president in 2015, and after he gave his political testimony, he was slain in 2020. The Pope was slain prophetically in 1798, after he gave his satanic testimony for 3.5 prophetic days. Yet God's prophetic word identifies that the Pope prevails in his war with the dragon.
Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh king of Egypt, and prophesy against him, and against all Egypt. Speak, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. Ezekiel 29 verses 2 and 3.
Egypt is the great dragon, and the atheism of Pharaoh typified the atheism of the French Revolution and the globalism of the 21st century. That globalism in the confines of the earth beast of the 21st century is represented by the Democratic Party. Ezekiel identifies that God is against Egypt, and further on in the chapter, Ezekiel identifies that God will give Egypt to the king of the north, who, in the passage, is identified as Nebuchadnezzar, and who represents the counterfeit king of the north of the last days. The counterfeit king of the north is the papacy, and God identifies through Ezekiel that God will give Egypt to the king of the north for the service that Nebuchadnezzar had provided as the rod of his chastisement. He identifies that he will give Egypt to the Pope in the period when the latter reign arrives.
And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was peeled. Yet had he no wages, nor his army, for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 29 verses 17 to 21.
The day that God causes the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth is September 11, 2001, when the latter rain began to sprinkle. At that time the Lord raised up watchmen, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet of the third woe. For he identified that God would give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them. In the midst identifies the period of time between the sprinkling of the latter rain, which began on September 11, 2001, and which concludes at the Sunday Law, when the Holy Spirit is poured out without measure. In the middle, the midst, of those two waymarks, two witnesses, or two horns would give their testimony, until they were both slain in the street in 2020. Before they were slain, they gave their testimony, and after they were slain, they were revived as the eighth, that is of the seven. They were slain by the dragon power of atheism, Egypt, and immorality, Sodom, for the service they had rendered to God. He promised to give them Egypt as their reward. When the king of the north captures the glorious land of the United States in verse 41 of Daniel 11, he then takes Egypt. For this is his payment for services rendered in God's providential work.
O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Isaiah 10 verses 5 and 6.
The Assyrian is the northern king, who represents the papacy, the counterfeit king of the north in the last days. Assyria and Babylon were used to bring judgment upon Israel, both the northern and southern kingdoms, due to their continuous rebellion.
So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. 2 Kings 17 verses 7 and 11, 14-16, 20, 23, 18-12. In the terrible judgments brought upon the 10 tribes, the Lord had a wise and merciful purpose. That which he could no longer do through them in the land of their fathers, he would seek to accomplish by scattering them among the heathen. His plan for the salvation of all who should choose to avail themselves of pardon through the Savior of the human race must yet be fulfilled, and in the afflictions brought upon Israel, he was preparing the way for his glory to be revealed to the nations of earth. Not all who were carried captive were impenitent. Among them were some who had remained true to God, and others who had humbled themselves before him. Through these, the sons of the living God, Hosea 1 verse 10, he would bring multitudes in the Assyrian realm to a knowledge of the attributes of his character and the beneficence of his law. Prophets and Kings, 2:92.
The Lord employed the northern kings as his tool of judgment. And the principle in the Bible that he followed towards those northern kings was that they needed to be paid for services rendered.
And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Luke 10 verse 7.
The Lord uses the papacy to punish the United States when they fill up their cup of probationary time at the soon coming Sunday law. And his payment is that he gives Egypt to the papacy for services rendered. God's prophetic word is clear that Egypt is given to the papacy, and verses 42 and 3 of Daniel chapter 11 confirm this fact. The Pope's payment for services rendered is that he becomes the head that the 10 kings lift up and who rules over the worldwide image of the beast. Trump prevails over the dragon powers, for he is the 8th head, that is of the 7, in the time of the image of the beast in the United States. The collapse of the Democratic Party, the dragon power that slew Trump in 2020, is now happening. God's word never fails. The straw that breaks the camel's back of the Democratic Party is the false prophet of Islam. The attack of October 7, 2023, placed a wedge within its base of support that can only be attributed to the role of Islam angering and distressing the nations. This will be accompanied by further attacks, producing greater division, while uniting a class of citizens of the earth beast who recognize the foolishness of the flood of illegal immigration that has been released by the forces of the dragon. It will also produce an economic crisis, though that crisis is already here.
And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Thus the accusation urged of old against the servant of God will be repeated and upon grounds equally well established. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. 1 Kings 18 verses 17 and 18. As the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges, they will pursue a course toward God's ambassadors very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued toward Elijah. The Great Controversy, 590.
Sabbath keepers are going to be identified as the reason divine favor and temporal prosperity have been removed. In describing this period that is just ahead of us, she refers to Elijah and his interaction with Ahab. Their mutual accusations of one another took place before Mount Carmel. Temporal prosperity and divine favor are removed by escalating judgments before the soon coming Sunday law. The passage just cited refers to a series of events that occurred during the Sunday law testing time, but there are two testing times. The image of the beast test that occurs within the confines of the United States thereafter is repeated in the entire world. All the events described in the passage find a prophetic fulfillment in the history leading up to the soon coming Sunday Law, and in the history of the world Sunday Law crisis which follows thereafter. The first paragraph of Testimonies Volume 9, which begins on page 11, thus identifying 9/11, states, "We are living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war, are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude." As the narrative continues on, we find on page 14, there are not many, even among educators and statesmen, who comprehend the causes that underlie the present state of society. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime. They are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. If men would give more heed to the teaching of God's word, they would find a solution of the problems that perplex them.
The scriptures describe the condition of the world just before Christ's second coming. Of the men who by robbery and extortion are amassing great riches, it is written, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton, ye have nourished your hearts, as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." James 5 verses 3-6.
In the last days, men are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. The Democrats, their propaganda machine, and the globalist bankers are struggling in vain, and they are lying about the actual financial stability they claim the Biden administration has accomplished. One of the symbols of the world just before Christ's second coming is men who by robbery and extortion have amassed great riches. The three verses that preceded the verses from the book of James that Sister White cited are,
"Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." James 5 verses 1-3.
A prophetic characteristic of the last days is when there are men that are recognized by their amazing wealth, which had been produced by fraud. Those men are in the news every day. That time is here. In that time, the wealth of those world bankers and billionaires is represented as gold and silver that becomes rusted. Silver and gold do not rust. So the scriptures are identifying something totally unexpected that happens to the wealth of the rich men in the last days. For their gold and silver is to become rusted. The harbinger of that economic crash occurred with the arrival of the Third Woe on September 11, 2001. Islam of the Third Woe is the east wind of Bible prophecy, and in the last days it is the east wind that sinks the economy, as represented by the ships of Tarshish.
"For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain, as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." Psalms 48 verses 4-7.
The globalist kings, billionaires, and bankers are troubled with fear and pain when the east wind, which represents the escalating angering of the nations, as a woman in travail, that is produced by Islam of the Third Woe, sinks the ships of Tarshish. Islam is about to break the local and global economy and produce an economic and political environment that plays perfectly into the strengths of Trump, not the Democrats and globalists, for the dragon power is given to the eighth head, that is of the seven, for services rendered. God used Trump to stir up the entire realm of the Grecians, For God is now bringing about the circumstances where the entire world is to be divided into two classes. The economic system that now is operated by the globalists was first introduced in the presidency of Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat that was elected by promising to keep the United States out of the impending First World War, but ended up as the president who presided over the First World War. Wilson is best known for pushing the League of Nations, the precursor to the United Nations. In his presidency, the financial structure of the United States was given into the hands of the globalists. When Wilson gave the economic direction of the nation into the auspices of the Federal Reserve System in 1913. The prophetic characteristics of the president of the First World War was his promise not to go to war, which was a lie. He was the leading historical figure promoting the one-world government of the League of Nations, and he presided over turning the finances of the United States over to the world bankers. He reigned from 1913 to 1921. In 1919, the third generation of Adventism, which is symbolized by compromise with the world, ran parallel with Wilson's compromise with the world, for the two horns run parallel with each other. In the third generation of Laodicean Adventism, they surrendered the control of their medical and educational systems into the hands of those outside their spiritual sovereignty. At the same time, Wilson surrendered the financial sovereignty of the United States to the globalist bankers, and he tirelessly worked, but failed, to surrender the United States' political sovereignty to the globalists. Wilson, as president during the First World War, represents prophetic characteristics which identify the Third World War. He represents a history where the Federal Reserve is involved in controlling the global economy in the direction which is best suited for the globalist agenda, not the sovereignty of America. He represents a president who is there when the New World Order finally achieves its goal in becoming the seventh kingdom of Bible prophecy, though their reign is short-lived. This fact is established upon two witnesses. For Wilson's failed attempt to join the League of Nations after World War I typified the United States joining the United Nations immediately after World War II. On these two witnesses, the soon-coming Sunday Law, which brings national ruin in its wake, leads to the implementation of the United Nations as the one-world government the globalists have been pushing for since Woodrow Wilson's presidency. These prophetic characteristics must exist in the presidency of the eighth and final president, who is of the seven. Wilson was followed by Warren Harding, a Republican, who ushered in the period called the Roaring Twenties, which led to the crash of 1929, which led to the Great Depression, which led to World War II. Trump's first presidency was the Roaring Twenties, and Biden is about to usher in the greatest depression in the history of the Earth Beast. That depression was typified by the crash of 1929, but also by the Panic of 1837 in Ellen White's day. The Depression of the 1830s in the United States is commonly referred to as the Panic of 1837. It was a severe economic downturn that lasted from 1837 to the mid-1840s, encompassing much of the 1830s decade. The Panic of 1837 was characterized by a financial crisis, bank failures, widespread unemployment, and a prolonged period of economic hardship. The Panic of 1837 was triggered by a speculative bubble, as was the crash of 1929. In 1837, when the bubble burst, it led to widespread bankruptcies and financial losses. A series of bank failures occurred in the wake of the speculative bubble, leading to a loss of confidence in the banking system and widespread financial panic. A global economic downturn, exacerbated by a decline in international trade and a decrease in demand for American exports, contributed to the economic woes in the United States. The crash of 1929, which marked the beginning of the Great Depression, was preceded by a speculative bubble in the stock market. During the 1920s, there was a period of economic prosperity in the United States, known as the Roaring Twenties, characterized by rapid industrial growth, technological innovation, and widespread optimism. During this time, speculation in the stock market soared, fueled by easy credit, margin trading, buying stocks with borrowed money, and speculative buying of stocks on the basis of anticipated future price increases rather than underlying value. Stock prices rose to unsustainable levels, far exceeding the intrinsic value of the companies they represented. From March 2000 to October 2002, the dot-com bubble burst. September 11th, 2001 was embedded within that economic crash. Then the housing bubble burst in 2008, which was called the global financial crisis or the Great Recession. Leading up to the Sunday law, the temporal prosperity of the citizens of the United States is removed. The removal of temporal prosperity occurs during the ceiling time of the 144,000. The first waymark of the ceiling time was embedded in an economic crash. September 11, 2001 was the empowerment of the third angel. And when that very same angel arrived in 1844, that history was embedded in an economic crash. 1844 typifies the soon-coming Sunday law, and September 11, 2001 is the beginning of the period of the ceiling. Jesus always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. The crash of 1929 preceded and led to the Second World War. We will continue this study in the next article.
There has been a slothful neglect and a criminal unbelief among us as a people which has kept us back from doing the work God has left us to do in letting our light shine forth to those of other nations. There is a fearfulness to venture out and to run risks in this great work, fearing that the expenditure of means would not bring returns. What if means are used and yet we cannot see that souls have been saved by it? What if there is a dead loss of a portion of our means? Better work and keep at work than to do nothing. You know not which shall prosper, this or that. Men will invest in patent rights and meet with heavy losses, and it is taken as a matter of course. But in the work and cause of God, men are afraid to venture. Money seems to them to be a dead loss that does not bring immediate returns when invested in the work of saving souls. The very means that is now so sparingly invested in the cause of God, and that is selfishly retained, will, in a little while, be cast with all idols to the moles and to the bats. Money will soon depreciate in value very suddenly when the reality of eternal scenes opens to the senses of man. The True Missionary, January 1, 1874.